My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Many of us look for the solutions and answers we seek to transform our lives externally. We pursue that which on the surface we think will make us happy and complete, but often find this path disappointing and empty. Is there another path that we may take to find fulfillment, beauty, and truth? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Jenya T. Beachy, says there is a path, and she calls it the secret country of yourself. Jenya has been exploring the old ways and forging new ones for more than 25 years. She served on the Redwood Circles Council and the board of Community Seed Earth Spirit Fellowship. She is also the founder of the Deep Well Great Heart Society, a service organization that focuses on increasing the flow of compassion and healing through all the worlds. She joins me this evening to discuss her just published book, The Secret Country of Yourself. Discover the powerful magic of your endless inner world. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Jenya T. Beachy. Good evening, Jenya.
Good evening, Victor. Thank you for having me.
And thank you so much for joining us. So, Jenya, let's begin with your story and your path. Please share with our listeners what your life was like and how your path evolved.
Well, probably the first evidence of my strangeness as a child was that I was in the habit of hanging around the edge of the woods and calling for the monsters to come out because I wanted to talk to the monsters. And in some ways, as I say in the book, in some ways that's what I'm still doing, is I'm still standing on the edge of what is known and unknown and calling for those mysteries to come out so that I can engage with them. And so as a child, I was looking for magic. I was looking for something else besides what I was seeing all around me. And that led to some hooligan-ish behavior when I was a teenager. I was trying to figure it out, like where can I go to get this thing that I believe is real, and how can I find what lies within and beyond what I'm seeing in front of me every day.
Just out of curiosity, why did you refer to the things in the woods as monsters? Where did that concept in your mind come from?
I think that I got that from watching old monster movies.
Okay.
And having sympathy specifically for Frankenstein's monster or the mummy or even Godzilla, these creatures who had been, who were just fine the way they were until humanity started messing with them and demonizing them. So, and that idea has actually translated through everything that I've done since then, is that I call them monsters, but not in a derogatory way. Monsters in terms of what we don't want to see, what we don't want to engage with, what we're afraid of, and actually coming to realize that these are, that these beings, these entities, these ideas have a message for us, and that message is often one of courage to engage and compassion to heal.
Now, it's interesting that you selected Frankenstein and Godzilla and the mummy, because basically these were all beings or creatures that were at rest, and that through the machinations of humanity or mankind per se, were reanimated or brought back into the world, perhaps not of their own choosing, and definitely not of their own choosing. So are these concepts that we're talking about things that are out there, that are dormant, that we shouldn't try to bring into this world without due consideration and respect?
I think due consideration and respect is always the key. And in the Secret Country of Yourself work, there are different parts of ourselves or different places within ourselves that we engage with what we find. And so we engage with our personal divinity in the sanctuary, and we engage with whatever our idea is of outside divinity, shall we say, and in the temple and in the school, we engage with the spirit of learning and education. And in the shadow house is where we engage with these parts of ourselves that we may have hidden away. And the problem with the shadows that we carry inside of us is that most of the time they're never really at rest. Most of the time they're in their rewatching old videos of something horrible that happened, and so it's this part of ourselves that is that's not accessible to us because it's busy being afraid or fuming or planning revenge there in the shadow house. And so we go purposefully in a spirit of courage and compassion into the shadow house, and we invite these parts of ourselves to come out and tell their story, and that's the beginning of healing,
And we're going to discuss more of these different aspects of the inner country or the secret country a little bit later on in the show. Getting back to your path, though, what traditions make up your practice?
I started with kind of a Buddhist practice when I was a teenager. I was looking into many, many different things. And so a little bit of Native American spirituality I started researching, and I kind of landed in a place of paganism or witchcraft. And that, of course, was many years ago. I'm 51 years old now, so when I was in high school, it was quite a long time ago. And the way that my path has developed over time is that, you know, I'm active in the pagan community in California, in the Bay Area. And also my path includes elements of Buddhist practice. I've done week-long silent retreats at the local Buddhist retreat center, and you know, I have a little bit of work with the saints that I do. My mother is Catholic. I wasn't raised Catholic, but so I have that idea of the saints. And mostly my personal practice has to do with, I call myself a dirt witch because I live on a farm, and a lot of what my personal practice has to do with now is how I engage with the physical reality of growing our own food, of raising animals for food, and so there is a very practical, physical aspect to my spiritual practice.
So you actually have a very eclectic and all-encompassing path.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
That's wonderful. You know, in your book, you say you consider your first language to be witch. What is the language of witch?
Is the language of relating to the earth, and through that also relating to the physical manifest self as a manifestation of spirit in the world. So my witchcraft tradition, which is fairy tradition, is focused on the relationship between these three parts of the self. One is the soul of the body, one is the soul of the mind, and one is the soul that is the starry crown of your individual divinity, your own God self. And so I like to be able to speak many languages, and so that kind of was my goal with the book, was to be able to create something that people of any spiritual path would be able to understand and find some resonance with, even including up to and including atheists. You know, I know people who consider themselves atheopagans. And when I was writing this book, I was thinking about them, and I was thinking, I'm not sure that it's important whether you believe that quote-unquote gods are quote-unquote real. I think the important thing is really that the self-examination and the self-reflection that you go through when you take this journey into the secret country of yourself. And so it's less crucial to me what people believe is happening. It's like, if you think it's all made up, I'm perfectly fine with that. If you go into the secret country of yourself and you meet Dumbledore or Gandalf, then more power to you. That's a fine place to engage as well.
Just for our listeners who don't know, just explain a little about fairy magic.
So fairy magic in the way that I practice it is primarily, like I said, an engagement with these three parts of the self. There are many, many, many different lineages within my tradition, and some of them are far more ceremonial than mine. Mine is a bit irreverent. Mine is a bit more very focused on the personal experience of self. And from there, you know, engaging with one's own God self and really putting one's own God self at the center of what you do. And from there, being able to reach out and engage with other beings and other ways of being.
My guest this evening, Jenya T. Vici. She's the author of the new book, The Secret Country of Yourself. Discover the powerful magic of your endless inner world. And we'll be back with more of Jenya and the book after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on OM Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
I want to
be a
football stadium.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Every Tuesday on Living with Moxie, join Shefali Burns and Donna Martouge in conversations designed to take you to the next level, where we highlight ideas, resources, and strategies that provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Each week on Living with Moxie, we will lead conversations related to success, achievement, fulfillment, and extraordinary, vibrant living. Are you ready to live with Moxie? Join us.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening, Jenya T. Vici. She's the author of The Secret Country of Yourself. Discover the powerful magic of your endless inner world. So, Jenya, how did you discover the secret country?
I discovered the secret country when, as a part of my priestess training, as a pagan priestess, which was in about 1990 that started. And at that time, one of the practices that we often used was guided meditation or guided visualizations. And in another context, it might have been called a shamanic journey. And what I found was in doing these journeys myself and in guiding other people through these journeys, that we would often begin with You know, find yourself in your safest, most comfortable place. That's where many journeys would begin. And what I came to understand after doing these things for many, many years is that that place was a sanctuary. And that when I used that kind of terminology when I was talking about it, people would really get it. They would really understand that this was not only a place that was a place for you to go and grow and change. It was also a place where you could go when you were having a breakdown. It was literally a sanctuary where if you felt like you were in danger or you felt like you couldn't cope with your life, that you could go into your own personal sanctuary and be held in the arms of all that you consider holy, to be held in the nature of unconditional love. And the sanctuary was the first place. And then I was teaching another course of people within my lineage, within my tradition. And one of the things that we do in this tradition is to try to purposefully engage with what we would call shadows or demons. And what I realized as I started working on creating these kind of meditations was that the sanctuary and the shadow place were inextricably linked. And it's not like two ends of the spectrum or two sides of a coin. They're actually connected and they feed each other. And these two places in the secret country really make up the core of oneself.
Is the secret country a place that most of us spend a lot of time dwelling in as children and then sort of slip away from as we get older?
I think so. It's really such a difficult concept to explain, and yet it seems like everybody understands it. There's this sort of innate recognition that that the place where we go when we're dreaming, and the place that we go when we're imagining, and the place where we go for inspiration, these are all the same place. And the purpose of this journey in this context, and as the course is laid out in the book, is to purposefully go to all of these different places and to gain familiarity with these places and to work with these places and to meet who or whatever lives there, and thereby to gain in three things. First is self-knowledge, because knowledge is power. And if we know ourselves, then we don't have to be as afraid of the world dragging things out of us that we don't understand. We already know what's in there. And so we can, you know, first is the self-knowledge. The next thing is the self-healing. Some of those things that we're going to find are things that are broken or things that were broken and then healed wrong. And so we need to go back and tend to those things again. And so self-knowledge and self-healing. And then what might be called self-possession, or becoming all of who we are, really understanding all of our own aspects, understanding all of our own proclivities, the things that scare us, the things that delight us, and to gain the courage to be all of who we are in the world.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. Many years ago, when I sort of re-established my path, which had been shut down as I got into the serious world of adulthood and business and so on, was that years ago I started attending these salons on Friday evenings here in New York City, and this wonderful woman who was well into her 80s at the time would conduct these, and she noticed that some of the material that was being discussed was sort of not bothering me, but something that I was having trouble getting a grasp on. And she pulled me aside one evening. She says, may I share some words with you? And I said, absolutely. She said, Victor, divinity does not demand that we be holy, but would love for us to be whole. And that changed my life when she said that to me. Embrace everything that you can possibly be. Take everything in. And then find what works and resonates with you, and what doesn't work and resonate with you, you can let go. But don't deny anything because of a preconceived notion of what divinity would have us do.
Yes, absolutely. I wish I had said that, because that is very wise.
It was so wonderful, and it was really life-changing for me. And I think, getting back to this question of children, I think our system in the West of education and responsibility, I think if our schools also included time for kids to stay and work with their imaginations and stay in the secret country on that level, and then grow with both aspects of both intellectual learning and the internal learning, I think we'd have much better, healthy kids.
Agreed. Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting when very, very young children that have what we might term difficulty separating fact from reality. Mm. They're living in that other reality all the time. And we somehow keep calling them back from that and telling them that that's not real.
Absolutely. You know?
I was going to say, when my brother was very, very young, his name is Michael. He used to want to be called Roger, and he would talk about his other family. Mm. He would talk about his other mom and his other dad, and, you know, so it was very interesting. And
when I was a child, I was labeled with an overactive imagination. I saw, heard, experienced things that no one else, adult-wise, could see or experience, mm-hmm. with my family and so on and so forth, until I had one episode occur where I was very close to my paternal grandfather, who was much of a mystic, and very close to him. And he was very much older than my dad was older than my mom by 20 years, and so my grandfather was very old when I was very young. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in my room one day, and I looked up, and my grandfather was standing there. I said, "Grandpa, where'd you come from?" And he smiled and didn't say anything, and then sort of faded away. And I went into the living room, and I said to my mother, I was seven at the time, I said to my mother and father, "Grandpa was just here." "Oh, you're imagining things again," I was chastised with. And then a couple of minutes later, the phone rang saying that my grandfather had just passed. So this whole concept of being aware and not shutting people down who have a different level of experience than perhaps everyone has is so important to the cultivating of open-minded and people who are really born into this world with the gifts of healing. And I think we have to really engender that in our children.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Now, you say in your book that we have to become fit travelers to enter the secret country. How do we prepare to become fit travelers?
The suggestions that I give in the book are particular exercises that are designed to help people become what I call a fit traveler, to stay clean and clear in relationships with themselves and with other people, to be strong, to recognize what your individual values are and how your life is either supporting or negating those values that you profess. And so I think the most important part is that people of different spiritual paths will have different tools for doing these same things. In 12-step programs, there are lots of tools for staying clean and clear in relationships. In martial arts teaches fitness, physical and mental discipline. So there are a lot of different ways to come to the same place, which is to be able to step with courage, to be able to step with compassion, with curiosity about what you're seeing, to do things that support your joy, to do things that support your learning and your growth. And when we do this personal work, whatever that looks like, it might look like having a meditation practice, it might look like having some other kind of cleansing practice. Some people like to do sort of a cleansing meditation when they're showering in the morning, you know, to get to wash off these things that aren't serving me anymore. When we are working with these practices on a daily basis, when we're focusing on our values, when we're focusing on our clarity and our courage, we are becoming a fit traveler not only in the secret country, but everywhere else.
And as we travel in the physical world, for example, if we go on a trip somewhere, I know a lot of us have a tendency to overpack our bags. Is there a secret about underpacking for the travel to the secret country?
Well, that is a very interesting question. That is a very interesting question. I think that one of the magical things, of course, about the secret country is when you're in there, you can call to you anything that you need. So if you step into a situation where you are feeling afraid for some reason, you can call a shield into being for yourself. And also you can move in a different way in there, in a much more creative way. You can move closer to what you're afraid of or further away from what you're afraid of. So that's kind of the unique perspective. And I think that there's, as far as overpacking, I think we all have a lot of baggage. So part of our personal practice is to look at that baggage and say, you know, wow, I have a lot of fear of X. Do I really need to carry this fear of X with me when I go into this place?
Absolutely. So we don't have to worry about extra carry-on baggage when we go to the secret country of ourselves. My guest is Jenya T. Beachy. She's the author of The Secret Country of Yourself, Discover the Powerful Magic of Your Endless Inner World. Jenya, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and this work.
My book can be found in all major retailers. It can also be ordered directly from Llewellyn.com. And my website is JenyaTBeachy.com. And I can be contacted through my website for people who have particular questions. I invite people to contact me all the time. And I'm very willing to engage people that way.
Wonderful. And we'll be back with more of Jenya and the Secret Country of Yourself after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on Om Times Radio, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening is Jenya T. Beachy. She's the author of The Secret Country of Yourself, Discover the Powerful Magic of Your Endless Inner World. Jenya, you say in your book that each of us has three souls. What are they, and how do we integrate these within ourselves?
The simplest way to explain the concept of the three souls is to consider that there is a soul of the body, there is a soul of the mind, and there is a soul that is your divinity. And each one of these souls has its own wisdom, has its own gifts to share, and also its own challenges. So the soul of the body is important to remain engaged with, because that helps us to understand our physical health. It helps us to be able to feel where things are getting stuck energetically in our bodies. And it helps us to enjoy the things that our body can do in a more robust way. Food or dancing or other things that people do with their bodies that are fun, that all of these things can be enriched and enhanced by an awareness of this, the soul of the body, which I call the fetch. Then the soul of the mind, which we call the talker, is that part of us that thinks about stuff, that plans and acts and calls people on the phone and writes things on the calendar. And often the talker gets a bad rap in spiritual communities because it is so overused in our culture. We spend all of our time, many of us spend all of our time or most of our time in this place of logic and thinking and figuring things out rather than focusing more on our spiritual practices or our spiritual beliefs and our body's own wisdom. On the other hand, when talker is disabled for some reason, like what happens with people who have dementia, often they have this, they still have their divinity, of course, because you can't get rid of that. And they still have this, their physical awareness, so they can still enjoy things physically, but they can't figure out how to make things happen in their life. So keeping the talker happy and healthy, keeping the fetch, the soul of the body, happy and healthy is crucial. And also remaining engaged with the part of us that is divine. We say in the tradition that there's a part of you that is a part of God that is a part of you. And it is that piece of you that has the longest view. It's that part of you that can see that what's happening for you in this moment, even though it may be terrifically challenging, is going to bear some fruit in the future. And so, and this, the spirit of our divinity we call God Self. And it's been said that our, one of the primary teacher of fairy tradition, Victor Anderson, would say that when they wrote down these words, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," what it really means is you shall have no other gods before your own God Self.
That's fascinating.
And part of the work of the practice of engaging with these three parts of the self is to bring them into alignment. So the soul of the body and the soul of the mind and the soul of our divinity are all moving towards the same thing. And it is said in the tradition that when all three of your souls are aligned, you can do anything.
That's wonderful. You know, you refer to the soul of the body as the fetch. At my age and in my situation, I call it the kvetch because it's constantly complaining to me about the way it feels and why you're working so hard. But I've learned to listen to it. I actually, I'll be 65 in January. I learned to listen to it, and I get along very well with the soul of my body, my fetch right now. So I'm not going to say it's a kvetch. It's still the fetch, but it's okay. So do we need to shed any preconceived notions before this journey?
I think it is important to shed preconceived notions. We come into these places with the idea that, you know, a sanctuary has to be a certain way, or the shadow house is going to be a certain way. And one of the things that I really try to instill in folks who are doing this work is to be able to enter into all of these explorations in a spirit of strong curiosity, to let go of what you think you know, right? In Buddhist practice, they call that the beginner's mind, to let go of those ideas that, you know, when I go here, I know I'm going to see this. I just know I'm going to see this. Well, maybe you are and maybe you aren't. Maybe that's not what's important for you to see right now. And so one of the practices that I have people do when we begin this work is to just take 5 minutes to write down your thoughts and feelings on the sanctuary, the shadow house, the temple, and the school. And, you know, to just get those things out of your brain and onto a piece of paper where you can look at them. And from there, you can decide whether you want to keep carrying them. There's some baggage that you might choose to set down before you enter the secret country. I do a lot of teaching online, and I just was teaching a course, and one of my students is a strict polytheist. She's very her understanding of how gods work is that they are independent entities who have agency and they have their own personalities. And it also in that course, I had someone who was an atheist, so it worked great. We had all the different aspects represented there. But she told me that when she went into the temple, she had the expectation, because of her religious belief system, that the temple was going to look a certain way and that she was going to meet these gods that she knew and that she worked with. And what actually happened for her is when she went into that place, she did not find that temple looking that way. What she found was a field of corn growing. And what she realized was that her relationship with her deities was stuck in this old way of thinking. And when she saw this field of growing corn, which she lives in the Midwest, and so she was like, wait, what? My deities are right here in front of me all the time. Mm-hmm. And it really opens up something new for her.
What a powerful revelation she had.
Yes.
Now, what tools do we need to start our journey to the secret country?
The tools that I have people bring are very, very simple. Because, of course, primarily your tool is yourself. Your tool is your engaged, purposeful, confident self moving into these places. But we also want to record what we find in these places. So I have people have a pen, and we learn how to engage with the spirit of the pen. I have people with a not very nice notebook, because when you come out of your meditations, your thoughts may be confused. You may not be in your full faculties of spelling things properly and all that. And so we have a cheap, lousy notebook that we can just write scribbly thoughts and little drawings in. And then we also work with those notes and with our memories and our remembrances to create a travelogue. And the travelogue has a set of questions that are more purposeful. So what time of the moon was it when you went in there? What were the astrological, you know, what was going on astrologically, if you're into astrology? What kind of mood were you in? Was it raining that day? Where did you go? Did anybody go with you? All that kind of stuff. And really create a more complete log of those travels. And then we also create a map. And the map is that physical representation of how we're finding the secret country in our own mind's eye. We create this physical representation. So there's a lot of focus on moving into this kind of psychic awareness and then moving back out into a physical awareness. So we do the meditation, which is very internal, and then we come out and we write about it, and then we create something, and then we make a thing. And for each one of the places that we go, we have exercises that I call head, heart, and hands. And the head part is writing down our thoughts, what we think, answering questions. And the heart part is either praying about what we find or finding music that works for it. And so it's this engaging that our divinity. And then we have the hands part. So we're either making models of things, or we're drawing things, or we're making collages. And so we're really always trying to keep those three different parts of ourselves engaged in the process.
And all of these tools and techniques and methods are outlined in the book. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So the student the reader who gets the book can become the student and follow your suggestions and offerings in their attempt to reach the secret country.
Yes, absolutely. And I've been teaching online and in person these concepts for many, many years. And what I had heard from people is that when they read the book, they're like, Jenya, it's like you're talking to me, which I find very gratifying.
Absolutely. And really, it's the fulfillment of your personal experiences being translated and shared for others to follow.
Yes.
Which is the real great way of teaching, is teach that which you know, teach that which you have experienced, and pass it on to others. Now, we had talked about the various places within the secret country. We'll get into more of this in the final segment, which will be coming up shortly. But briefly, please tell our listeners, what is our sanctuary?
The sanctuary is that place that is supported and held by our own God self. It is that place where we can go to be nurtured, that place we can go that we can decorate any way that we want, that we can have the music that we want and the big fluffy couch that we want and all of those things. And when we go into that place, we're entering into the center of our own divinity, into that place of unconditional love, where we're held and protected and nurtured and fed and encouraged and engaged and healed.
That's wonderful. And this is something that each of us has our own way of seeing. Is that correct?
Yes.
In other words, my sanctuary might be different from your sanctuary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it should be different, because what you find comforting and nurturing is going to be different than what I find comforting and nurturing.
Absolutely. My guest, Jenya T. Beachy, author of the new book, The Secret Country of Yourself, Discover the Powerful Magic of Your Endless Inner World. And we'll be back with Jenya after these words from the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on Om Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Okay, men, time to be an all-star caregiver. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Be there emotionally and physically. Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Jenya T. Beachy. She's the author of the new book, The Secret Country of Yourself, Discover the Powerful Magic of Your Endless Inner World. Jenya, we were talking about the first place in the secret country, in our secret country, our sanctuary. Then there's also, as you mentioned, the Shadow House. What is the Shadow House, and what can we learn there?
The Shadow House is that place where we have shoved away those parts of ourselves that are too scary, that are too ugly, or conceivably that are too beautiful to survive in our lives. And what I mean by that is that sometimes when a person is a child, they are told that there is some part of them that is not okay. So if you're an artist, then and somebody tells you that, you know, you're a terrible artist or whatever it is, and that so that part of you that wants to make art gets put away. Or for people, it happens a lot for people who are having people who are gay or lesbians, that are told, of course, as many they do in many places in this world, that that's not okay. So that part of them is shoved away and hidden. And so those are some of the shadows that when you go in there and you find that, and as an adult, you can recognize that what that person told you was bull, and you get to reclaim those parts of yourself, then it's wonderful. It's enlivening. It's amazing. It changes everything. But those are like the really nice kinds of shadows that you might meet, even though to bring them into the light is still very frightening. When they're brought fully into the light, it really gives a feeling of wholeness. Of course, there are shadows that aren't that. There are shadows that are of a trauma that one has participated in, either as a, you know, as an abuser or as the abused, or somebody or something that a person has seen, something that has traumatized them. And so one of the things that I talk about in the book a lot is, you know, we're always looking for allies in our healing. We're always looking for somebody who can help us make sense of these things. And so I encourage people, especially with the Shadow House work, when they're dealing with something that is extremely traumatic, to bring in a therapist, to bring in a doctor, if that seems like what is called for, to make their healing more well-rounded.
And you had mentioned the connection between the Shadow House and the sanctuary. And I assume what we do is we also take those things and bring them back into the sanctuary with us for that healing and that comfort.
It's a lot of times what I see happening is that people go into the Shadow House, and the primary exercise that I like to use in the Shadow House is we just go in there and we open the door and we see the shadow there and we allow the shadow to tell its story to us. And sometimes that's all we can do. Sometimes we can't even do that. Sometimes all we can do is open the door and look at the shadow, and then we have to leave and come back a different time because it's too scary. And so when that shadow, when you finally get to the point where you allow that shadow to tell you its story, you can take that shadow and that story into yourself and bring it with you back to the sanctuary. And when you do that, I mean, we allow this light, whose source is our own God self, to feed and quench and bathe our shadow and ourselves, and really illuminate that story in a way that makes it okay for us to carry it inside of us now. So even if we're still uncomfortable with it, we know that it is a part of us and we accept that. And so when we bring that back into the sanctuary and we bring it in as, you know, sometimes like a, almost like a wounded animal that we're carrying inside of us, we bring it into the sanctuary and allow, like you said, the sanctuary to work its healing magic.
Do you find, I know that as children, sometimes our traumatic experiences, which we carry as shadows, that through the years we kind of, and I'm not diminishing anyone's traumatic experience, but sometimes our memories are a little bit twisted or embellished because of other experiences that we have after that initial experience. Do you find that people do the Shadow House work, that they find that things were not as bad as they remembered?
Often, when people go into that place as an adult, and the shadow was generated when they were a child, that yes, they go into that place. Just kind of like if you, I'm visiting my parents right now. My mother showed me a letter I wrote to her when I was 13 years old. And it was like, oh, you know, mom, blah, 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 blah. Like all of this, whatever 13-year-olds think is important. And when I read it as an adult, I was like, oh my gosh, how sad for her that she thought this way. And so it's kind of the same thing, you know, that you can go into that place. And sometimes you do find that what you thought was the case, when you hear that story and you take it in, it's very easy to take in because you're like, you know, it's, oh, come on, honey, it's not that bad. Or,
absolutely. Now, in our secret country, you also talked about the place of the temple. What may we find within the temple, and what purpose does it serve?
The temple is that place within that is divinity's home within us, not our own God self's home within us, but whatever we perceive to be divine. So for some people, like my polytheist friend, she has a strong idea of who her gods are, and she carries those ideas lightly into this internal temple. Like, as I mentioned, she found something very different there than she expected. But it is a place where we can engage with deity of any form. Or if you are a person who doesn't believe in gods, then you might engage with the spirit of nature, or you might engage with the spirit of mathematics. You know, in the book I talk about how, you know, you might find out what's really important to you by what your temple looks like. So you might go into that place with the mind towards entering the temple, and you might find that it's like a gym, because the most important thing to you is your physical fitness, to the point that it is, that's like your God. Mm. That's what you deify. Mm. And also in the temple, there is the cemetery. And in the cemetery, there are not only the shades of our personal ancestry, but also our spiritual lineage, and also other things in our life that have died, that might not be a person, but might be a relationship, or might be a career change, or might be a worldview, something that has completed its time of service in our lives, and the cemetery is where we buried it.
Now, every great journey is a time of learning and growth, and we often think of this as a great school. Is there a school within our secret country?
Yes, absolutely, there is a school. And the school is that place where we go to engage with the spirit of learning, the place where we go to really dig into any particular subject. So it's very fun to go to the school. It's one of my favorite places, even though I really hated school when I was a kid, because in this school, it's all self-driven. So I can go around and I can sit in on a dance class, and I can sit in on a music class, or I could sit in on a physics lesson. But one of the things that I talk about a lot in the book is that the experiences that we have in the internal reality are not always going to match up with a shared reality. And that's fine, because what we experience in our internal reality and in our internal journey, it will change our lives. It'll change our lives, and it'll change the world around us. But that doesn't mean that if I go into this school and I sit with Einstein and he gives me a new idea of how physics works, that I can just pop out of the secret country and say, hey guys, guess what? Here's a new way.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. When we think of great epics and heroic journeys, there's often a requisite forest or wilderness that we have to traverse. Do we also find that in our secret country?
I think in many of the places that we go, there is some kind of challenge like that. And the secret country of yourself, this journey, is going to be a lifelong thing. If you choose it as a way of enhancing your own practice, then you'll spend the rest of your life exploring your own beauty. And And so there's not always necessarily a particular quest, like Joseph Campbell would talk about, the hero's journey. There's not necessarily a particular quest, but there can be if you are you set that up for yourself. So you might set up the idea that I'm going into the secret country of myself to write this book. When I was writing this book, I went into the secret country of myself, and I listened to myself as teacher teaching this material, and I just wrote down all the things that I said.
Absolutely.
But, you know, my way of moving into those places and engaging those places had its own set of challenges that might be considered that forest or that guardian.
Absolutely. Shannon Adler said, and then it happens all at once and unexpectedly. That is how things happen, I suppose. You pack your bags and find yourself walking yourself home. How do we travel home from the secret country?
We travel home from the secret country when we have made all of these different individual journeys and we come back. We go through all of the places that we've talked about already. We go into our internal experience of the realms, the classical elements, earth, air, fire, and water. We rise to the middle of the cosmos. We sink to the center of the earth. And then we move back into our own heart. And our own heart rests in the sanctuary. And the sanctuary is home.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for this. Jenya T. Beachy, her book is called The Secret Country of Yourself. Jenya, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get your book and find out more about your work.
All right. My book is available at all major retailers, available also online from Llewellyn.com. I'm going to also be having it on my website at JenyaTBeachy.com, and I'm going to be teaching some upcoming classes as well, so it would be great for people, if they want to stay in touch, to get onto my website and sign up for my mailing list.
Jenya, thank you for leading us to the secret country of ourselves, and thank you for taking us back home. Jenya, wonderful to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.